Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Plotzer coming at you live from my house here in Cincinnati. It's Monday, and it's August 20. No, maybe it's August. Yeah, August 20, I believe. the beginning of the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. I was just up there yesterday dropping off my daughter in Chicago in West Rogers Park, and then Dobbins ate something and skedaddled out of there to avoid being anywhere near what I think is going to be pretty crazy and violent stuff. So without further ado, let's have our class. We learned Talmud together Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I just looked over this material, a little bit on the late side, obviously, for a class that I'm giving right now. I had a drive through the night, so I'm kind of sorry. It's crazy. Yesterday was a wild day. And I just got in about 2 or 3 hours ago, so I got a little bit of a nap in. Let's see if we can do something together. We're on Gimel Amud Aleph, Tinus 3a, middle of the page, at the two dots, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua. Got to confess, this is a little bit confusing. Not at all happy with the way I understand this. Not at all happy with the way this whole thing is structured, frankly. I find it very, very, frankly, just very confusing. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do this any justice. But you know what? Let's learn this together. Let's do what we can together, and we'll try to hack it out and see what's going on. So if you're with me, 3A in the middle of the page, very first word, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we're going to be quoting from the Braisa. There was a Braisa quoted above on 2B, and now we're going to be quoting from that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, this is a Braisa, by the way, Ha'over l'fnei ha'teva, the one who goes before the Aron, the one who leads the services. I just want to compare and contrast this, by the way, with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda says, the one who goes before the Ark to lead the prayers. And in our Braisa, it's Rabbi Yehuda quoting in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. So let's see what this Bryce has to say. Remember, it's not the Mishnah, which opens up our tractate. This is a Bryce, but it's practically identical to our Mishnah. It's just that the authorship is in question. Here in the Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda is quoting in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. In our Mishnah, which opens up our tractate, it's just plain Rabbi Yehuda, you know, saying it in his own name. So let's see if we can just lay that down. It seems that's what's going on. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, this is the Braisa, Ha'over l'fnei ha'teva, the one who goes before the ark to lead the services, b'yom tov ha'achron shel chag, on the last day of the holiday, which means on Shmini Atzeres, okay? Ha'achron, the latter one, meaning the one who leads the Musaf service. There's the Rishon, the first one. He's the one who leads the Shachar services. And as you all know, we've got Shacharis on Shmini Atzeres, and we've got Musaf on Shmini Atzeres. So according to the Braisa, Ha'achron, the latter one, who leads the Musaf service, Maskir, he mentions. What's he mention? He mentions the Gevuras Geshamim, the prayer, Mashiv Haruch Umarit HaGeshem. He makes the wind blow, he makes the rain fall. That's known as Gevuras Geshamim. The powers of rain, that God's got the power of rain. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, the one who leads the Musaf service is the one who mentions Mashiv Haruch Umarit HaGeshem. Harishon Ein Maskir, but the first one, meaning whoever's leading Shacharis, he does not mention that declaration, Mashiv Haruch. Okay? B'yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach, and on the first Yom Tov of Pesach, on the first day of the holiday of Pesach, B'yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach, Harishon Maskir. Okay, it's a little bit different. On Pesach, things are a little bit reversed, according to this Braisa. And Harishon Maskir, the first one, mentions the powers of rain. And the powers of rain equals this forward declaration, Mashiv Haruch Umarit HaGeshem, he makes the wind blow. I'm going to just call it either Mashiv Haruch, or he makes the wind blow. Okay? That's how I'm going to refer to it. So again, According to this brisa, on the first day of Pesach, Harishon Maskir, the first one who leads the Shacharis service, he says Mashiv Haruach, Hachron Eino Maskir. But the latter one, the second one, the last one, the one who leads the Musaf, he does not mention the Mashiv Haruach. That's the brisa. Okay, that's the brisa. Does it sound, is it problematic on its face? I don't really know. I'm not so 100% sure. Let's see if the Talmud explicates any problems. Okay. Here is the beginning of an attack question. Hey, Rabbi Yehoshua, which version of Rabbi Yehoshua does this brisa agree with? And what do we know about Rabbi Yehoshua? Well, we know in our Mishnah, we know, if you take a look at our Mishnah on 2a, when do you begin saying Mashiv Haruach? Rabbi Yehoshua says, Miyom Tov Horacharon Shel Chag, on the last Yom Tov of the festival, on Shmini Atzeres. And if you ask me, that's all you really know. Okay, that's what you know, that's all you know. He's of the opinion that you start saying it on Shmini Atzeres. According to our Mishnah, the question is, when do you start on Shmini Atzeres? Does the Mishnah say anything? Shacharis, Musaf? No, the fact is that our Mishnah simply says, in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, that you begin saying the prayer on Shmini Atzeres, but you don't know exactly when to start it. It could be the Shacharis or Musaf. It seems to me, from a first blush reading of our Mishnah, it just seems that Rabbi Yehoshua is saying something very, very curt. You start saying it on Shmini Atzeres. But that's all you know from our Mishnah. Shacharis, Musaf, how does anybody know that? So when this brisa comes along, it seems to perhaps be adding a little bit of light, perhaps, on it. Maybe it's shedding a little bit of light on our Mishnah. Because now we have Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. And now we're learning that on Shmini Atzeres, it's the Musaf, it's the Baal Musaf who mentions Mashiv Haruach, but not the Baal Shacharis. The latter one says the prayer of Mashiv Haruach, but not the first one. So that does add a little bit of light. That sheds some light on our Mishnah. I don't think that it's... it contradicts our Mishnah. I personally think that it kind of explicates our Mishnah ever so slightly. Excuse me. Because our Mishnah seems to have been very quiet. When do you actually start saying it on that day? Shacharis or Musaf? So our brisa that we're being introduced to over here is telling us, okay, you want to know exactly when to start saying Mashiv Haruach? Then you start saying it at Musaf time. And me, I just nod my head and go, okay, now I know that you start saying it on Musaf. I didn't really know that from our Mishnah. Let's see if the Talmud agrees with me. Let's see if I'm missing something. Hey, Rabbi Yehoshua, which version of Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion does this brisa agree with? Elema Rabbi Yehoshua demas nisen, if you want to say that the Rabbi Yehoshua of our Mishnah is conforming with the brisa, and I kind of think that it might. Well, we're told that's just not true. I'm being informed, Plotzker, your thinking is not holding up. It's untenable to equate the Rabbi Yehoshua of our brisa, who tells you that you start saying it at Musaf time on Shmini Atzeres, with the Rabbi Yehoshua of our Mishnah, who merely says Shmini Atzeres. And I'm thinking to myself, why is that untenable? I don't see that. Let's see why the Talmud thinks it's untenable. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehoshua said that one makes mention of rain on Shmini Atzeres, on the last Yom Tov of the festival. And then the words in the article are implying the Shacharis prayer. I'll read that again. Read the whole thing. If you say the version of Rabbi Yehoshua's opinion quoted in our Mishnah, and that conforms with the opinion here in the brisa, not true. that position of the Rabbi Yeshua and of our Mishnah is untenable. It cannot be equated or worked in to the opinion of the Rabbi Yeshua of our Brisa. Because in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua said that one makes mention of rain on the last Yom Tov of the festival, which is Shmini Atzeres. But the most important thing is the last words that Artskel puts in, implying the Shacharis prayer. And I'm thinking, implying the Shacharis prayer? Why necessarily the Shacharis prayer? Why would you think that Rabbi Yeshua, in our Mishnah, definitely is saying, oh, the last time you say it is Shacharis on Shmini Atzeres? I'm thinking to myself, why Shacharis? Why not Musaf? Why not Musaf? I don't know. Right there and then, I stopped myself and I wrote a little note to myself that, you know, what is this and why is this? Why do you say that? Why do you say that it's a Shacharis prayer? We don't see anywhere in the Mishnah Shacharis or Musaf. There's no discussion of it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. All it says is you begin saying it Shmini Atzeres. So as far as I go, I'm Shacharis, start saying it. Musaf, start saying it. You know, okay, whichever. Now, there is an opinion in the Mishnah. If you remember the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said, the one who goes before the ark to lead the prayers on Shmini Atzeres, Ha'acharon Maskir, the latter one mentions the powers of the rain. Harishon Eino Maskir, but the first one who leads Shacharis does not mention the powers of rain. That's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. And I don't know what to say. I mean, our Mishnah quotes that in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Now it seems that the Brisa is quoting that very same law, but in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, quoting it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. So if that's true, if the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is equal to the Rabbi Yeshua's teaching over here in the Brisa, I'm not sure where the problem lies. Because what I'm looking at in the Mishnah, the one who goes before the ark to lead the prayers on Yom Tov, Shmini Atzeres, the latter one mentions Mashi Viruch, and the first one does not. And that seems to completely conform with our Brisa. The only problem is, in our Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda is quoting it not in his own name, but he's quoting it in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. And I'm thinking it could be that the problem is that the Mishnah, our Mishnah that opens things up, simply says very blandly that Rabbi Yeshua says you start the last day of the festival on Shmini Atzeres without discussing precisely when you begin, either Shacharis or Musaf. There's no discussion of it. Whereas the Mishnah then quotes a third opinion after Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua and gives a third opinion, and the third opinion is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says, oh, you know when you start saying it? Musaf time. So that would seem to be, if it's going to be a third opinion, that it would not agree with Rabbi Yeshua. It would be all Rabbi Yehuda, his own. It's very subtle. It's very subtle. If I'm correct, and maybe I am, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is precisely telling us when to begin saying Mashiv Ruach, Musaf time. And you ask yourself, okay, what does Rabbi Yeshua say about that? And the answer is, well, we don't really know exactly when to start saying it according to Rabbi Yeshua. Because he doesn't say exactly when. He simply says on the eighth day. But in order for it to be a machlokas, in order for Rabbi Yehuda to have a different opinion than Rabbi Yeshua, he has to have a different opinion than Rabbi Yeshua. So if Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah are saying that on Shmini Atzeres, the latter one, the one who leads the Musaf service mentions Gevuras Geshamim, mentions the prayer, then that would mean that Rabbi Yehoshua would not necessarily agree with that in order for us to have two different opinions. So then if that's the case, then maybe you can glean from our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehoshua is of the opinion that you start saying Mashiv Ruach at Shacharis time in order for us to set up a machlokas, in order for us to establish our Mishnah and make our Mishnah make sense. Rabbi Yehuda has to have a different opinion in our Mishnah than his colleague Rabbi Yeshua. Okay? I see where they're going. The implication is if Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is saying, start saying things at Musaf time, so then you have to say that Rabbi Yeshua in order to have his own standalone distinct opinion, he would have to be saying, no, I don't agree. You should start saying it chakras time. In order for us to have a sensible Mishnah, we have to have a Yehuda who says Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. So then you'd have to agree that Rabbi Yehoshua would take a different position, because that's normal. He has to have a different position. If he's saying something, he's clearly got to have his own distinct position. So if Rabbi Yehuda is explicitly staking out Musaf as the time you begin saying Mashiv Ruach on Shmini Atzeres, then you're forced to say, all right, I guess that means, we're assuming now, I guess that means Rabbi Yehoshua says Shachris, because Rabbi Yehuda is staking out Musaf. So therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua would have to be saying, no, you start saying it at Shachris time. And if you start saying it's Shachris time, then the Rabbi Yehoshua of our Mishnah is not agreeing with the Rabbi Yehoshua of this Brisa. How about that? Because the Rabbi Yehoshua of our Brisa is saying Musaf. And in order for us to have a normal Mishnah, we have to say that Rabbi Yehoshua is going to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. And if Rabbi Yehuda stakes out Musaf is the time you start, then obviously the default position is for Rabbi Yehoshua that he feels you start at Shachris. And if Rabbi Yehoshua in our Mishnah says Shachris, then how can Rabbi Yehoshua of our Brisa say Musaf? And now I got it. Okay? El Rabbi Yehoshua de Brisa, let me just write that down, to distinguish him from Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Sometimes you have to just say it out and say it out and say it out. Okay, so far so good. The Rabbi Yehoshua position of our Mishnah is not stimming. It's not reconciling with the Rabbi Yehoshua of this Brisa that we're learning. El Rabbi Yehoshua de Brisa, so rather it must conform with the version of Rabbi Yeshua's position in the Brisa. Okay, so how are we going to make that happen, though? How are we going to make Rabbi Yehoshua of our Mishnah, who apparently disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and by disagreeing, we presume he says you begin saying it on Shachris, so how are we going to reconcile that Shachris position in our Mishnah with the Musaf position of the Brisa? How do you do that? But we're going to just say that they're going to conform, that I guess the Rabbi Yehoshua of our Mishnah is going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. And he's going to say, okay, start saying it at Musaf time. All right, that doesn't really distinguish him in the Mishnah, but let's go along with that idea. El Rabbi Yehoshua de Brisa. Rather, it must conform the Mishnaic Rabbi Yehoshua's position, which we thought was Shachris, is going to have to agree with the brighter Idik opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, which is Musaf. Problem. Ha'amar, attack question continues. Ha'amar, Mishasa Nachasar, but that's also problematic because in the Brisa that we're learning over here, Rabbi Yehoshua said that we begin to make mention of rain, Mishas Hanachasar, from the time that the lulav is put down on the seventh day. Where was that Brisa? I got to confess. Let me just see if I can find that Brisa again. I'm not seeing it. Another confession. Augustine wasn't the only one who wrote the confessions. I'm also writing the confessions. And I confess that I don't really see it off the cuff. Oh, okay, here it is. Which Brisa? This is 2B. Okay. My he, which Brisa, the Tanya was taught in the Brisa, Me'emasai maskirin al hagishamim, from when do we mention rain? Rabbi Eleza says, Mishas netzilas lulav, from the time the lulav is first taken, which is to say, from the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, she says, Mishas anachoso, from the time the lulav is put down. One begins to mention rain on the eighth day. Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion, starts saying, Mashivruch, on day eight of the holiday, after the lulav is used for the last time. On the seventh day of Sukkot, you put it down on the seventh day of Sukkot, you're all done with Sukkot. You don't do Lulav and Esrog on the eighth day, on Shmini Atzeres. Nobody does. It's unthinkable, because Shmini Atzeres is its own standalone holiday. It's not Sukkot. You don't take Lulav and Esrog on Shmini Atzeres. So when you take the last time, the lulav and the esrog, that's the seventh and final day of Sukkot. Then when you put it down, now comes the new holiday of Shmini Atzeres. Okay, and then that's the day that you start saying, that's when you start mentioning rain according to Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so let me make a note of this over here. Page 2B1. Okay, so according to this attack question, the Brisa that we are learning, the Yeshua says that you begin mentioning Mashiva Ruach from the time the lulav is put down on the seventh day. Enjoy. That conflicts, that teaching, that you start saying what you're saying, that you start saying Mashiva Ruach from the time the lulav is put down on the seventh day, that is going to conflict with the ruling cited here by Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Yeshua, that rain is not mentioned until the eighth day. It seems that our understanding of the Brisa, when you put down the lulav and esrog on the seventh day, and then you pick it up, and then you start praying for rain on the eighth day. But it could be that you can understand the words, begin saying the prayer of Mashiv Ruach from the time you put down the lulav and esrog, maybe that could mean the seventh day, that you start praying on the seventh day for the rain, and not the eighth day, as we thought earlier. And so there could be a little bit of dispute in our understanding of the Rabbi Yeshua, of the Brisa, who said that you start saying the prayer Mishas Hanachasa from the time it's put down, which is, of course, on the seventh day. So with the lulav and esrog, put it down the seventh day. And so maybe that means that you should start saying it on the seventh day. On the day that you put it down, that's the day you begin praying for rain. But that's not our understanding. Elsewhere, where we thought that Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that you begin to start saying it on Shmini Atzeres. That certainly was our understanding back on page 2b, little 1. Rabbi Yeshua says, the tunnel of us put down, that is to say, one begins to mention rain on the eighth day, after the lulav is used for the last time on Sukkot. The last time you do it on Sukkot is, of course, day 7. Comes along day 8, it's a standalone holiday. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you use the lulav and esrog, you put down the lulav and esrog, that ends the holiday of Sukkot, and then the next day, Shmini Atzeres, the standalone holiday, and that's when you begin praying for rain. That's our original understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, it's, maybe that understanding was wrong. Maybe when he said, when you put down the lulav and esrog, that's when you begin praying, that it really means on the day of 7. That's interesting. If that's accurate, and I think the footnote's going to say that, then that's a whole new understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. We originally thought, put down the lulav and esrog on day 7, finish off the holiday of Sukkot. When Sukkot is concluded, then the next day you make the prayer for rain, Mashiv Ruach. But according to this attack question, maybe Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you didn't have to wait till Shmini Atzeres the next day. The very day that you put down the lulav and esrog, begin praying. So according to that, maybe it's the case. I'm just thinking out loud without seeing the footnote again. I'm just thinking, so you would take lulav and esrog to Shacharis. And of course that's true. We take lulav and esrog, say, for the Hallel of Shacharis. And then maybe we do the Hakafis. There's a difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim as to when you do the Hakafis. Some say right after Shacharis. Some say right after Musaf. So maybe our original understanding was you take lulav and esrog and you do your Hallel and you do your Musaf, let's say, with the lulav and esrog, then you put it down. Having concluded lulav and esrog and Musaf, you put it down. Mazel Tov, that's the end of lulav and esrog. We don't do this anymore. And then that night concludes Sukkot, and it begins, the holiday of Shmini Atzeres begins. And we're no longer doing lulav and esrog. But maybe, just maybe, it could be that the way to really understand Rabbi Yeshua is that on the seventh day of Sukkot, you take lulav and esrog, of course you do, and use it for Hallel,
and you do your akafas with it, and you put it away right after Shacharis, comes along Musaf, you're no longer doing Lulav and Esrog, because you already completed your usage of Lulav and Esrog, Shacharis time, at Hallel and the akafas. Then you did the reading of the Torah. Now it's a whole new world. Now you're in Musaf world. And according to this, maybe this Brisa, you do not, obviously you don't use the Lulav and Esrog anymore, and you might as well start saying Mashiv Baruch on day 7. How about that? Instead of waiting for day 8, you can now start praying for rain on day 7 because you've already put aside Lulav and Esrog. You already used it for everything possible, for Akafas and for Hallel. So you can start saying it Musaf time on day 7, the last day of Sukkot. You'd be praying for rain on the last day of Sukkot. It'll be a little bit of a strange prayer, and we've discussed this idea. Why are you praying for rain? You don't really want rain to show up, even on the last day of Sukkot. You want to sit in the Sukkah. But we're just trying to hammer out a possibility of understanding the text. I'll read you a footnote. See if this is shed any light. I'll read it slowly. As Rashi's commentary was explained above on page 2b, this means that the mention of rain begins on the 8th day, after the last opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Lulav on the 7th day. According to this view, that you begin Mashiv Ruach on day 8, the contradiction noted by the Talmud between the opinion reported by Rabbi Yehuda and that of Rabbi Yeshua of the Brisa can be explained as follows. Rabbi Yeshua's statement, from the time the Lulav is put down, Mishas Hanachaso, from the time you put down Lulav and Esrog, implies that we begin to mention rain immediately. Oh, immediately after the 7th day, which is to say in the Marv service of the 8th day. Wow. In the Marv service of the 8th day, I was thinking Musaf of Sukkot. And he says, no, bless you, start saying it Marv. Start saying it Marv time. The opening, if you will, the opening prayer of Shmini Atzeres. But that conflicts with Rabbi Yehuda's statement that rain is not mentioned until the Musaf prayer of the 8th day. That conflicts with Rabbi Yehuda's statement that rain is not mentioned until Musaf of Shmini Atzeres on actual day 8, you know, when the sun is up, okay, when the actual day of Shmini Atzeres is, not the night before, but the actual daytime, and it seems this conflicts with Rabbi Yehuda's statement that rain is not mentioned until the Musaf prayer of the actual 8th day. It says the brackets, however, this approach is not indicated by Rashi here. Thus, the matter requires further study. I think everything requires further study in the Talmud. I mean, it's almost like you can never really get a definitive sometimes. You get the feeling. So you're constantly reviewing it and going over it again and again, and always coming up with new, fresh questions and new theories. That's part of the beauty of Talmud study. You have to keep an open mind when you're studying. A couple of days ago, we were studying about the idea of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. If it was Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, why did you even bother asking any questions at all and posing any offered answers? If you knew it was Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, it's a great question. What was the purpose of all that questioning and all that answering? If you knew all from the very get-go that it was always Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and if there's no room for questions and answers, I'll never really understand that. But over here, we're just trying our best to figure out, if there's a contradiction. Okay? We're saying that El Rabbi Yeshua de Brisa, but the Rabbi Yeshua opinion recorded in this Brisa, who says that you begin say Mashiv Ruach on Musaf of Shmini Atzeres is going to be difficult. Ha'amar Mishas HaNachaso, that proposal that you start saying it on Musaf service of Shmini Atzeres is also difficult, because in the Brisa of Yeshua said that you begin to make mention of the rain from the time the Lulav is put down on the 7th day. This conflicts with the ruling cited here by Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Yeshua, that rain is not mentioned until the 8th day. I think that maybe my way of understanding it is onto something. That the tension, the difficulty, the seeming discrepancy between our Brisa, where you start saying, you know, Mashivruch at the Musaf service on the eighth day, is in conflict potentially with Rabbi Yoshua, who earlier said in the Brisa that you start saying it when the lulav is put down on the seventh day. And I still keep on thinking that that means you can start saying it on the seventh day at Musaf time. They're saying, no, it means Marav time. All right, Marav time. All right, when you put down a little bit of Esrig. Oh, I see. They want to insist that it's got to be that Rabbi Yeshua is saying when you put down a little bit of Esrig on day seven, when's the first time you could possibly pray for rain? That night, Marav, which opens up Shmini Atzeres. And you don't have to wait for Musaf. Aha. Uh-huh. And so at Marav time, which is going to be the very first time you can pray for rain, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you start praying for rain as soon as possible, but you have to wait for Sukkot to conclude. Sukkot concludes with Mincha, and then when the sun sets and you do Marav, now you have a whole new holiday. And now you can pray for rain, because now it's Marav time. Ah, I see. Marav would be the first time you could possibly begin saying Mashiv Ruach. Okay, and that's an understanding of Rabbi Yeshua that you begin to say Mashiv Ruach when? At the very first instance possible. That's Marav of Shmini Atzeres. Marav, which opens up the holiday at night of the holiday of Shmini Atzeres. That is, that's sensible to me. Whereas over here in the Brisa, we're being told that you start saying it at Musaf time. Wait a second, is it Marav or is it Musaf? That's the conflict. That's the conflict. I was mistaken when I was thinking, oh, why don't you start praying for rain at the Musaf of the last day of Sukkot? Rabbi Yeshua is not in favor of that. He's already on record as saying we should not be praying for rain on Sukkot. It's a bad thing. Who wants to see rain on even the seventh day of Sukkot? I want to sit in the Sukkot on the seventh day of Sukkot. So then, Novaden, as we say in Yiddish, so then when can you start saying Mashiv Ruach? At Marav time. Ah, but if you're going to say Marav time, then how is that going to reconcile with our understanding of this Brisa, quoting Rabbi Yeshua, who says explicitly, start saying it at Musaf time. Wow, that is really powerful. Remember, we are surmising, we are assuming that Rabbi Yeshua would say, according to the Brisa, where he says you should start saying Mashiv Ruach when you put down Lulav and Esrei. So when's the first possible time you do? You can say the prayer for rain. The first possible time is Marav, which opens up Shmini Atzeres. That makes all the sense in the world. I want you to understand that. You can't start saying the prayer for rain anytime on Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua opposes that. So the only possibility for Rabbi Yeshua is to begin saying it at Marav time. Okay, Marav time it is. But if Marav time it is, according to that portion of the Brisa, because you put that Lulav and Esrig, and the very first time you could possibly say Mashiv Ruach would then be Marav time of Shmini Atzeres, there's no way to reconcile that idea, that position of Marav, with explicitly this part of the Brisa, which says Rabbi Yeshua teaches you start saying it at Musaf time. Because Marav does not equal Musaf. Now even I'm getting it. I hope you are too. We continue. A similar difficulty with another Brisa. Where are we holding? Well, time-wise. I'm belaboring this point. But we gotta get some clarity. Oh, it's already 11:20. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut this class short right now because I want to give you the benefit of a fully worked through, hopefully learned explication of what we're seeing over here. And all we're going to be getting right now is yet another layer, another difficulty with another Brisa yet. And I'm not sure that I feel up to explicating that other Brisa. Let's hold off. It's already time-wise to hold off anyway. Not a bad place to end. We can quickly review on Wednesday, run through it quickly, and then hit ourselves with new information, God willing, on Wednesday. And there will be an answer offered. Hopefully we'll like it. Not sure that we will, but because I've looked ahead. Hopefully there will be an answer that we're all going to be happy with, and we'll see this new brisa that we're being introduced to, and there'll be an answer, and we'll see it, God willing, on Wednesday. So a big yishar koach, thank you so much. You know, this is how it is. When you're studying the Talmud, you got to go slowly. This is how, line by line, word for word, line by line. Obviously, you also have to, you know, do material. You got to do, got to get through page after page and get your ideas and get exposed to the information. And you see it a second time and a third time and a fourth time. So there is value in that too. But this particular class is not a Daf Yomi class. This is a slower intro to Talmud class. It's got its own orientation and its own goals. So if you want to do Daf Yomi, that's great, and you should. But this class is not quite that. Here we're just trying our best to learn the words, learn the question, learn the answer, I think that we're getting somewhere. So God willing, let's pick this up on Wednesday, and we'll quickly review and then move into fresh material, and hopefully it'll be a good class on Wednesday. I look forward to that. Thank you so much for joining me today. Zagazun, everybody. Please join us at 1 o'clock for Book Club. Don't want to miss it. We're going to try to do chapters 4 and 5 of Book Club. It's going to really be, just be great. Take care, be well. Have a great day, everybody. All the best. Bye-bye now.